Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our next guest is being honored for 25 years of broadcasting the Nets, but his career is a lot more than that. Not only is it putting Syracuse, that tiny school up north, on the map, is really putting this show on the map that we are filling in for, the Mike Francesa, formerly Mike and the Mad Dog show.
He was a part of that show.
Yeah, he kind of created it. So when you think about putting the Nets on the map.
Number two, NFL CBS.
Should be number one.
Should be number one. Different story, I agree.
You think about making that little school up north something relevant.
What about me? I didn't do that?
Well, then not nearly as much as this guy.
No, definitely not.
Put that little Yes Network on the map. It was nothing. This guy's a legend, and tomorrow he is being honored with Iron Eagle Day, and quite frankly, not enough is being done. I think he should get a key to the city. I think there should be a bobblehead. My dad was very upset.
I'm annoyed there's no bobblehead. I want one.
It's got to be. Instead, there's a bobblehead for, what's the movie? Black Panther, which
good
is
movie.
Pretty cool. It's a good movie. But can you give me a Black Panther bobblehead and an Iron Eagle bobblehead? Anyhow, that long-winded introduction is for Iron Eagle. Hi, Iron.
Evan. JJ, great to be on with you. Let me just say this. Social media, the reach of social media is extraordinary, as we know. So for me to follow along and to know that Evan was on vacation last week, got rest and relaxation, and the batteries recharged and ready to go this week, so that informed me. I felt more informed. And for me to go on social media and to see JJ in Vegas, poolside, with no shirt.
Wow.
And a tuft of hair surrounding the areola region. To me, this is what's connecting us on a level that I could have never imagined when I started at FAN in 1990.
And I hope this makes up for the fact now that I was not there for your Glickman Award presentation.
No,
I think this great introduction makes up for it, right?
Oh, completely compensates for it. There were no hard feelings whatsoever.
Is this a time to make a little news? And that is to reveal to the world, finally, what is your secret Twitter account name?
The burner. Yeah.
The burner account.
Is it Noah Eagle?
Why do you assume it's one burner account? I could have multiple burner accounts going. You name a couple of tags, and it's probably me. I'm juggling.
We should just call you Kevin Durant. I mean, what's the difference between you and Kevin Durant?
Exactly. That's how I roll.
Are you going to be a little emotional tomorrow night? I mean, this is a celebration of you know?
Yeah, a lot of people are asking me, what's on the docket? What's the itinerary?
Yeah.
And I finally got a look at it about an hour ago, and I'm just going to let it fly here.
Go ahead.
First quarter, I am breakdancing with the Hype Squad.
Nice.
In the second quarter, I am doing acrobatic dunks off the trampoline.
I love that.
In the third quarter, I'm on a unicycle with Red Panda.
Oh, boy.
And then this one is really a treat. Fourth quarter, I will appear on Kiss Cam with Jim Spanarkle.
Wow. Yes! That's a capper right there.
Yeah, it's a 25-year culmination.
Now, Iron, you've been doing the Nets now for 25 years. Remarkable run, and it's going to continue, I think, for quite some time. Is there a favorite game you have as far as being on the microphone, on the call, net basketball? What was your favorite net game you've called throughout these 25 years?
Well, I would say that 2001-02 season, which was such a shocker, because nobody anticipated that the Nets could reach that level, a number one seed in the East, most wins in franchise history, and they advanced to a decisive game five against Indiana in the first round of the playoffs. That's when it was still 3 out of 5.
Yep.
To me, that's the one that stands out. There was so much on the line that night. Bill Raftery and I were calling the game, and it goes to double overtime. Reggie Miller hits a half-court heave to send it to the first overtime. Reggie Miller dunks to send it to a second overtime, and Jason Kidd just put the team on his back and willed them to victory. to me, that was a release in many ways, because the franchise at that point needed that kind of validation. They required it in order to take the next step. And obviously, it led to bigger things. They go to the finals that year. They go to the finals the next year. They were one of the more exciting teams in the NBA over that five-year period.
Let me tell you something. Now, I can't include 76 or 74 in the ABA. I can't include the shocking first-round upset against the Sixers in the early 80s. That game was the most important and the greatest Nets game in the history of their franchise, based on how they needed to win that game. Because as great of a surprise season as that was, and it was stunning to be the number one seed, Ian, if they lost Game 5 in their own building to the Indiana Pacers, especially with the way Reggie tied the game, like you mentioned at the end of regulation with a half-court heave that I still can't get out of my head.
I think it was late, too.
Yes, it was late.
Under the current replay conditions.
That is correct.
It would have been nullified.
You know who confirmed that to us? Rod Thorne. We had him on last year, and he said, you know, guys, that would have been overturned. And I'm like, geez, man. You imagine if it wasn't, and we're looking back at it. But
right.
That was the most important.
Was Rod John Sterling when he was on?
I know. That was
a very weird Rod Thorne.
You know, the problem is I don't have a Rod Thorne imitation.
Went to the, oh.
Yeah. Exactly. That was, though, the most important game I think that franchise has ever played based on.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it also was a game where they exercised a lot of their own demons.
They
needed it for the relevance around the NBA to be taken seriously, to pay off what that year meant. And look, they did go on a really impressive run, and they were an exciting team. It was not a flash in the pan. They sustained it for a number of years. Yes, they go to the finals the next year. They fall to San Antonio in six games. But even the year after that, they very well could have beaten Detroit that year. And if they beat Detroit that year, I think they were going to go to another finals.
Mm.
And they very well could have been an NBA champion. They were good enough to compete at that level.
Yes.
And this current Net team, not as crazy surprise is that Jason Kidd team many moons ago, but this has been a fun season. I know my partner to my right is thrilled about the way the team's been playing. I'm sure it's been a joy for you each and every day to be a part of the broadcast. The team's back to playing quality basketball. What has been the biggest surprise watching them day in and day out? What's been the biggest surprise with Brooklyn so far this season?
Yeah, I would say the development, how quickly it's come about for this cohesive group. You know, we talk about winning cures a lot of your issues, and it's like the eternal deodorant. And the reality is, when you start winning, the things that you may have questioned before are no longer questions. Kenny Atkinson in year three is now being applauded for the job that he has done. And Joe Harris, the improvement has been recognized around the league. Caris LeVert, prior to the injury and now since the injury, is being considered one of the up-and-coming players in this league. D'Angelo Russell rewarded with an all-star berth. So the fact that this team is connected in a way that it has, and the process has certainly been sped along because of that. And when you look back at, yeah, sure, the San Antonio Spurs, what they meant in terms of development, taking a player, improving that player, taking their homegrown players and turning them into stars. Tony Parker was not earmarked for stardom. Manu Ginobili, same situation. Obviously, Tim Duncan was. He was the number one overall pick, and they benefited. The Robinson to Duncan transition was one of the best in NBA history. But now the Nets are starting to generate some buzz around the league that their system works, their culture is strong. And I think players and agents and other teams are taking notice. To me, that's been the biggest breakthrough whatsoever. To hit all-star break this year and have the Nets a topic of conversation for all the right reasons, it's been a long time.
Hey, thank God.
On this radio station, no less.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't happen.
And thank God they won the Cleveland game, because I'm telling you, going into the all-star break and sitting around for, you know, 8 days for the second half of the year to start, after
right.
another loss would have been bad, and staring at being under 500 would have been really bad. So I thought that was so essential that they somehow pulled that one out of their rear end.
And not only won, but covered that number. And I know Richard Jefferson was aware of that number, Ian. Don't tell me he was not. He was aware.
Who were you asking?
Ian, playing dumb on me now, Ian.
I checked that after the fact because it popped up on our bus ride to the airport. And
sure it did.
That would be among the more brutal situations if you were a gambler.
Yes.
And you just thought you were coasting with the Cavaliers.
You know what I loved about that win, besides being above 500? D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell stunk for the first 3.5 quarters of this game. He was turning the ball over. He was not hitting his shot. And what he did in that third overtime, and look at his final line. I mean, his final line was, you know, a pretty damn good line. That's a star performance, and that's what really encouraged me going into the break. And then he got to compete in the All-Star game. Good for him. And of all the developments we've seen this year and over the last 2 years, you know, Joe Harris has been great development, obviously. But D'Angelo's the guy with that star upside. I mean, he's already an All-Star. How about what you've seen from him and the Nets' plans for him long-term? Because at this point, they have to bring him back.
Yeah, what I've seen is maturity. And what I've seen is a player that's worked really hard on his game and an acknowledgement from him that probably the best thing to happen to him was to go from L.A. to Brooklyn. I don't know how many players you would have predicted would say that in their career. Getting dealt from the Lakers to the Nets, the perception would be, oh, no, that's not going to work out well. No, yes, it is. It was better for his career. He got into a system and to a place where they appreciated his talents, and they pushed him by his own admission and Kenny Atkinson's admission. He asked Kenny, coach me the way you need to coach me for me to get better. And once you have that kind of freedom as a head coach, then you can take a player places that maybe he didn't even know he was capable of. I think D'Angelo always had confidence in himself, but it needed to be triggered. And it has. He's a legitimate player. He has a chance to be an excellent player for a long time. They're going to have to make some decisions, obviously, down the road. They're not worrying about it today. And they've got 23 games left in this season. And I do think the fact that Caris LeVert was out for an extended period of time, it opened the door for D'Angelo Russell to step forward and to become the player that a lot of people thought he was capable of becoming coming out of Ohio State.
The great Ian Eagle, the voice of the Brooklyn Nets, the voice of college basketball on CBS, the NFL, amongst many other talents. Ian, college basketball time. It's a big college basketball night for me, Syracuse, Louisville, St. John's, yep. Providence, and, yeah, Duke and North Carolina. You're doing games every week. Do you think there is a significant gap this year between Duke and everybody else, or do you get the sense that this Duke team, vulnerable, beatable, as we move closer and closer to Selection Sunday?
Yeah, I have Kentucky on Saturday. They're playing Auburn on CBS. Just watching their tape, rewatching that Tennessee game.
Ooh.
They're really talented. They're scary talented, and I think they're going to be around, and they'll be a legitimate threat to Duke when the smoke clears. I had Virginia a few weeks ago. I know Duke took care of business against them, but I think Virginia is a Final Four team this year. I just believe they're balanced.
You're buying them, Ian. You're buying that they can get over the hump. Interesting.
Yes. Yeah, the idea, I know people are still jumping on UMBC from last year. I don't think one has anything to do with the other. Of course, it's going to come up again in the first round of the NCAA tournament, but DeAndre Hunter, as long as he's healthy, which he was not last year, didn't play in the NCAA tournament, to me, that took away their biggest weapon, took away the guy they would have leaned on in tough times and facing any kind of adversity, and he's back, and he's better than ever. I like their squad. I think they can make noise in the NCAA tournament. The question is there a huge gap? Is there a drop-off? Yeah, talent-wise, I think there probably is. I think Duke's the most talented team in college basketball, but there have been other years where I thought other teams were just as talented, and they didn't necessarily win the championship. It's all based on how you're playing at that time of year, matchups,
yeah.
Unfamiliarity. If you just get a team that shoots lights out and you don't have it, Duke's not a great three-point shooting team. They've been better of late. Syracuse exposed that in the first meeting, but even in that meeting, Duke wasn't 100%. Pound for pound, they're the best team in the nation right now. They would be the prohibitive favorite to win the national championship,
We're talking to the great Ian Eagle, and Zion Williamson gets a ton of attention, not just watching him at the collegiate level, but obviously Knicks fans dreaming about him and other fan bases dreaming about him. Give me a guy that you've been most impressed by who's not getting, because no one's getting the attention of Zion Williamson, and the only other guys getting attention are his teammates, like R.J. Barrett, rightfully so. But is there a guy you've watched that you are very impressed by who's not getting that same attention?
Yeah, there's no one that I could put in that category that I've seen in person. Tennessee has two very talented players that could easily be in the NBA. I think Kentucky has three guys that will be top 10, top 12 type picks. P.J. Washington has really opened some eyes because he improved his range physically. At 6'8", 230, he's a truck, and he's adapted to the modern style, and give him a lot of credit. He's shooting 44% from three-point territory. We've seen a big jump from year one to year two. Keldon Johnson still filling out for Kentucky. I think he's certainly going to pop up on a bunch of boards. Tyler Hero from Kentucky can shoot lights out. I don't think he'll turn pro, but he's a guy to keep an eye on down the road. I don't know if there's anyone else that I would put in that category. Morant has gotten a lot of attention, small school product, and he's jumped up boards very quickly because of his athleticism and the dynamic way in which he plays. A lot of people that I respect are very high on him, but just haven't seen him yet. I haven't seen him in person. It's hard to make those assessments until you see these guys in person in the scenario that forces them to compete. And that's why, you know, we jump on the NCAA tournament a lot, and that can affect your viewpoint. Even for me, James Harden, I had him in the NCAA tournament, a loss to Syracuse his last year at Arizona State, and he was very passive in that game. Now, I knew he was talented, but I must say, I didn't walk away from that game and say, oh my gosh, this guy is a no-doubt superstar in the NBA. His work ethic proved to be superior, and his drive was much more than I anticipated just following him for the first two rounds of the tournament that year.
I remember that game well. I was a student at Syracuse University. I was doing post-game at Syracuse University. I was in a very good mood when James Harden could play as badly as he did against that 2-3 zone. And I'm sitting here, Ryan. Evan can attest to this. I'm wearing my Party Like It's 2003 shirt. It's from our friends over at Orange Bias. They have a big game coming up against Louisville. Is this going to be another one of these years, Iron Eagle, where Syracuse is sweating out the NCAA tournament?
I'm looking at the schedule, and I think, unfortunately, it may be that situation again where they're not necessarily guaranteed to be in. You win against Louisville tonight, that would probably take a little bit of the heat off. You got to assume that Duke is going to be full of revenge coming to the Dome this weekend, considering what Syracuse did in the first meeting. I think, though, with SU, as we've seen in previous tournaments, you get them into the field of 68, and they're going to be dangerous because teams are just not used to the 2-3 zone. If they play teams outside of the ACC, and we saw it firsthand last year, Arizona State, befuddled. They move on. And TCU couldn't get over the hump. They move on. Michigan State, really talented, could not find the antidote against the 2-3 zone. So they're lethal if they get into the NCAA tournament just because of the style of play and the way they play, and they'll grind it out and they'll beat you in a game in the 50s. But when you can scout them and you can play them a couple of times a year, you can find some openings and you can find some cracks, and that's what we've seen in the ACC. To me, this is a good Syracuse team. Jim Boeheim has found some things that work. But they're not a great offensive team, and that's been the challenge for them, generating offense consistently against some of the better opponents.
All right, I'm going to ask you a very loaded question, okay? I want to warn you, it's loaded. Are you ready?
Boy.
Are you set for this?
Yeah, it's loaded. Yeah,
I want to take you into the underground world of Nets Twitter, okay? Where we talk about a lot of things, all right?
You're part of this underground world?
Jeez. Sometimes I comment on it, but I love to watch all my fellow Net fans talk about real serious things when it comes to this franchise.
Is this a dark place, Evan? Is this a demented place?
It's pretty demented. It's demented, it's probably unrealistic. No, I think it's unrealistic. You ready?
I'll try to go there with you.
All right, come into this underground world. So for all my Net fans who may have tuned in and said, let me hear what Ian's got to say, we're going to get Ian Eagle's opinion on this, all right?
How do you know I'm not in that world? Maybe I'm posting under
the burner, baby.
You know
the
what?
The burner.
I'm looking at BNets247 on Twitter. Maybe that's you.
Me.
Maybe that's actually you.
That's 257. You're off by one number.
Oh, there you go. So it's July 2nd. You got a meeting with Kevin Durant, you know, because the Nets have been impressive. Agents are talking. Everybody's talking. Durant said, all right, I'll meet with these guys. You're in a meeting with Kevin Durant. You're Sean Marks. And Durant says, Sean, I've been very impressed with what you're doing. I will sign with the Brooklyn Nets. But, .. Kyrie's coming with me. And that means D'Angelo's gone. So it's great that you've built him, but I'll come with you. I'll join you guys. And I think this is a loaded question because, Ian, I'll be honest with you. And I'm probably really stupid for saying this. I don't care. I'd say thanks, but no thanks.
Wow.
Yeah, I would. Cool. I'm that buying into D'Angelo at 22 getting better and better. I got concerns about Kyrie's health. Durant's 31. As much as I love Durant and stick it to you guys,
Knicks
fans.
I was going to say, they can come to the Knicks. That's okay, Ian. Both can come to the Knicks.
Well, you don't have tough decisions to make.
No, you're right about that. Hopefully Zion, Durant, and Kyrie. Yeah. That's what I want.
Ian, what would you do? That's a tough one. What would you do?
You know, I think considering where this franchise was, if you're telling me that's a realistic possibility,
yeah,
the Nets would sign up for that dilemma. They would sign up for the idea that two major superstars in the NBA would like to play for their team and pose that to ownership, pose that to all the people within the organization that they trust, and figure out if that's the right direction to go in. It's not an easy answer.
It's not.
And I think the Nets, fortunately, with Sean Marks, they've been very prepared for plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, even throughout restricted free agency with players that they signed to offer sheets that they didn't get. But they got to the plate and they took their cuts. And I think it showed the rest of the league that they were serious, that they were now a player. And to think, Evan, 3 years ago, where this franchise was.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, to where they are today is a complete metamorphosis, not just in the raw results of wins and losses, which is what you ultimately judge your team on, but also the way they're seen around the league and the fact that they might be able to now get a seat at the table where 3 years ago they couldn't even get into the furniture store.
Right.
It wasn't going to happen. So I think these are interesting questions to pose. If they get that chance, I believe they would sign up for that today to have the option to have those conversations.
The reason why it's difficult is, A, D'Angelo's only getting better and better, and I'm so impressed by his defense, too, which I want to point out because that's significantly better as well. But I think what Sean Marks has done is when Spencer Dinwiddie proved he's worthy of bringing back, he didn't waste any time. He didn't psychoanalyze, well, me eating a cap space. He took care of him. And I thought that was good. Yep. I thought it was smart. And that's the thing I wonder about. You brought this kid in who had problems in L.A. He made a big mistake, which we don't even have to get into, that probably ruined him in that locker room. Magic didn't believe in him. They work with him. He has the knee issue last year. And look what they've done. Look how they've developed him. And he wants to be coached. He's bought in. He's done everything they could have asked for. I think it's tough just knowing them for them to say, hey, gotta go. You know, we got two stars coming who both have, you know, age on you a little bit. We'll see you later. I don't know. I just see them as more because they've talked about culture, and they're the one organization, Ian, where I actually believe them when they talk about culture. I don't think they're BSing us when they talk about culture and why it matters.
No, and I would agree with you on that. I don't think you're wrong in your last statement, but if your mission statement as a general manager is a championship, and that's what you've talked about to your rank and file, and that's the image that you're projecting around the league, you have to at least consider the options of what you just posed.
I'm
not saying that it's a guarantee they would go there, but the idea that Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving would be interested in the Nets, that's another sign that they now are here to stay, that there are relevant again, and that they've opened the eyes of people around the league. If it gets to that point, and we're so far from that right now.
I know.
That has to happen, and they have 23 games left to play. I know they're focused on this year, but I do think this group keeps an eye on the future, and Every step that they've made along the way has been a positive one. They've been really shrewd and really smart in what they've done.
And the truth is, I don't even really care that much about the question. I asked it for the underground of Nets Twitter
me.
Always about the underground.
It's the underground. Because for me, I'm obsessed with Portland tomorrow night. I'm obsessed with the 8-game road trip that scares the you-know-what out of me. And then I'm obsessed with, hey, if they can make the playoffs, you know, they matched up with Indiana. Could they beat them? If they matched up with Boston, which would be the sweetest thing ever created. Ian, let me tell you something. If they played the Celtics in the first round and God forbid they beat them.
You wouldn't. Sorry, boys.
You do not know that.
No, I do.
You do not know
whatever
that.
Whatever you want.
You do not.
Evan, whatever you want.
Is Kyrie actually going to play?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Really? Is he going to play?
Whatever you want.
Did I see him last
year? Whatever you want.
You guys always hurt.
Whatever you want.
Is he going to play?
Whatever you want.
You don't
whatever
know
you
that.
Want.
They are
whatever
so
you want.
Overrated.
I don't care. They'll be your team.
Okay.
I love
my
you.
Team
they will win.
They got no shot.
They will win
no
that shot.
Are we still in the underground? I don't know.
No, we're out of the underground
This
now.
Is a part of why I want the Celtics to shut people like JJ up. I want them so badly. I got nothing to lose, too, because if I lose, who cares? Right? They were supposed to lose.
Whatever you want. Ian, you are the best. We appreciate the time. We will be enjoying Ian Eagle Night Thursday as the Nets take on the Portland Trailblazers. And Ian, you need to find a way to get Syracuse as a part of the NCAA tournament. You were a good luck charm last year. Let's do it again.
All right, JJ. Evan, thank you, man. Really appreciate
Ian,
having me on.
Congratulations.
All the best. Evan, will you be there tomorrow?
I am in the building, baby.
I'm thinking of going, Ian. I'm thinking about it.
Will we share an embrace? Will there be a moment?
I'm coming. Well, if I can get there quick enough, because I'm doing the show with JJ till 6:30, I don't want to get in your camera shot. Can I just walk in on your camera shot and just hug you?
Nobody needs to see that.
Security would probably tackle you right there. I'm not sure you would make it past that wall of security, but good luck.
Thank you, Ian. You're the best.
See you guys.
Ian Eagle. We'll come back. We'll get to more of your calls. The injury concern about Jed Lowry that's going through Met Camp. What else is new? We are broadcasting to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.